This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNLive.com today.
To this version of the show. A lot happening across this great country. And I said this in the first hour of the show. It's one of the very few times I have not opened up and told you some destruction had happened just moments ago. And in the dark of the night somewhere, people are homeless, barely pulling themselves out of the wreckage of some kind of horrific weather condition. It is the thing, one of them anyway, it is the thing that absolutely binds us when we talk about the weather and how it affects our lives. And these tornadoes have been terrific, meaning terrific, like terrifically big and horribly scary, frankly. The width of them, how long they're on the ground, what's happening to people in some of these small communities, and what's happened, in the aftermath of that. And once you realize, you know, who cares about possessions in one sense, because it's about human life. But then the reality is, wow, now I got to pick up the pieces of this and figure it all out. And a lot of people are in that situation right now. All right, the Supreme Court with a big one today, declining to intervene to enforce West Virginia's transgender athlete ban. And why is this big? Because this is something that's coming up all over the place. The Supreme Court ruled that transgender athletes in West Virginia can compete on female school sports teams. That was in response to a challenge by the state to allow it to enforce a law that prohibits athletes, those athletes, from doing that. So the justices denied the state's emergency request, that's what it was, to lift an appeals court's injunction, which enabled a transgender girl who was 12 to compete on her middle school's female teams until the three-judge panel reaches a final decision. The appeals panel is set to hear the student-athlete's appeal in full. And so then this case could go right back to the high court. There were two justices, Justice Sam Alito and Justice Clarence Thomas, that dissented from the decision, saying the case concerns an important issue that the court is likely to be required to address in the future, which is what I just said. This is going to get kicked back up to the Supreme Court. West Virginia in 2021 became the seventh state in the nation, the sixth that year, to enact a law prohibiting transgender women and girls from competing on female sports teams. It was called Save Women Sports Act, and it bars transgender female athletes from participating in sports consistent with their gender identity in public elementary schools, high schools, and universities. This isn't the only state that's going through this, and this will be huge, 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 huge for the Supreme Court when it gets kicked back up, because there will be other challenges, right? At least 20 states since 2020 have enacted laws that barred transgender athletes from competing on sports teams consistent with their gender identity. And this is a big crisis in school districts all over the country, and specifically, again, that challenge is going to be the first domino that may set precedents and then trigger other lawsuits that will most certainly happen after this one. So this is a stay tuned. Let's see what happens here. Big story in Tennessee. The Tennessee House expelled two Democrats for protesting. And what happened was there was a massive protest over the horrific shooting that happened last week, where you had three students, nine-year-olds, and three school officials gunned down, and you had 7,000 Tennesseans, lots of them students, marching to the state capitol, calling the lawmakers to take action to keep them safe. That's the kind of things that they were, that were on signs and that they were saying, you know, yelling out, that kind of stuff. And what happened was you had three lawmakers address supporters on the Capitol steps. And then, so this was outside the chamber doors, and then inside the chamber doors that continued, and you had a vote. House Republicans voted to oust Representative Justin Pearson from the Tennessee House of Representatives, Democrat from Memphis, as the chamber entered the 10th hour of the meeting. And he's new to the job. He had just been sworn in 10 days earlier. He took the seat of a late representative and, you know, won a special election to do that. So he's voted out. Then you have another representative that is voted out as well. And then you had a third, because there was three. There was three that were standing in support. And she just missed being voted out by one vote. So, you know, they read the, you know, reasons why, and then went through why ultimately expel them. And they're saying that this is the rules, that you can't just create the chaos this on the floor, that we couldn't have that happen. So before the final vote, all the Democrats in the chamber, and they're not the majority, nowhere near the majority, gathered around the representatives and read the names of, one of them read the names of the six victims killed at the Covenant School last week, and, you know, talked about defending children and whatnot. So this was so emotionally charged that you have nothing on talk radio there but this conversation about how does that happen. How do they expel two, and then one almost gets expelled but misses by one vote, but they ousted also Representative Justin Jones from Nashville. So a Democrat from Nashville, the Democrat from Memphis, from the Tennessee House of Representatives. And so Jones represents more than 70,000 constituents in a county, Davidson County there. And what was said is it was too much of a spectacle, and you can't have that happening. It's not about expelling just the individual people. It's about that we cannot have rules broken this way, which was exactly the opposite of Justin Jones, who spoke ahead of the vote to expel him from the House of Representatives. He said, it's not about expelling us as individuals. It's about your attempt to expel the voices of the people from the people's house. It will not be successful. Your overreaction, your flexing of false power, has awakened a generation of people who will let you know your time is up. The expulsion is effective immediately. In the court of public opinion, which is social media, it has exploded as to whether this was the right thing to do or not. We turn the page to the man cave next.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming. And that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog. Yeah, that's Guinness. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Or hit me up on Twitter at Kate S. Delaney. At Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.
As well, because everybody's welcome here, right? And it's interesting. I've been working on my Invade the Man Cave updates in my book, and we're getting closer and closer. And it's pretty exciting. There's so many things that are always happening in the world of sports, including this. All eyes in the world of golf, anyway, are on the Masters in Augusta, Georgia. Augusta is a beautiful place. I really like Georgia, the time I've spent there, because of the mountains, because of the just the different areas of Georgia. But the Masters is the toughest ticket. I said this the other day. It's the toughest ticket to get in the world of sports. They don't care. I mean, it's a pristine, beautiful golf course. They're not going to have millions of people trampling across it. It can't handle that many people. So it's interesting, because what you have now, this is just, you know, the first day, but you have John Rahm, who survived a four-putt double bogey start to share the Masters lead, which is huge, you know, to come out on the first day to sit on top of the leaderboard. So he's there with Victor Hovland and Brooks Koepka. Lots of good numbers other than that terrible that terrible situation, the double bogey four putt. But other than that, looking pretty good. He finished with an eagle at 7 under 65. The other part of the story, though, is this whole LIV golfers that are playing. There's 18 and versus the PGA pros. And are they getting are they getting harassed? You know, or is there tension about that? Or is everybody getting down to business and, you know, who cares at this point? And this is something I thought that was so interesting because, of course, the media is needling it up a bit for sure. And the former Masters champ, Sergio Garcia, who is tired of answering questions about the rift between the PGA Tour and this LIV Golf League, which is backed by the Saudis. And because of human rights violations, that's the big charge about that. Like, how can you play for them and accept this huge amount of money? So speaking to reporters after he had a 2-over-74 in the first round, he started to get irritated when he was asked how normal it felt to return to Augusta National Golf Club. And he said, totally normal. You guys need to stop it. You guys are making big deal out of it. It's you guys. That's what he said. It's you guys. And when a reporter pushed back, he said, yes, it is. I've had nothing but great things from every single player I talked to. So stop it and talk about the Masters. Wow. I love it. I mean, I do have to say, I've been in situations where I know what the reporter wants the headline to be. So they needle the athlete. And they're, of course, he's getting needled. And when he says, when he's constantly asked about what's happening and different things that relate to the LIV Tour, he'll say, how can I even talk about something I don't know about when you're asking me about futuristic information that I have no idea about, right? So I think the clown show will continue, though. I think there's going to be more questions about it and probably more frustrated golfers at this point, right? All right. This is just interesting to me because I was out earlier to support a friend who has a great new book out called Think Small, the Little Book with Big Impact. It's my friend Lisa, who lives in Tampa. And I was talking to somebody that was there who was telling me, oh, I got to go soon because I'm going to go out to the Frozen Four. And I was like, oh, that's right. The NCAA Frozen Four. It's huge. I mean, the best of the best. They're competing for a national championship. So the 5-time national champion Gophers are looking for their first title since 2003 against Quinnipiac on Saturday, right? Minnesota has outscored its opponents 19-5 in the NCAA tournament. And this is, I mean, this is it. You know, you're down to their final four teams. And how cool is that? I didn't realize. I was like, wow, that's right. It's right in my own backyard. And I think people don't realize that sometimes there's great Canadians that go to Boston University or Minnesota, some of these great schools that have solid, you know, hockey teams, and then they end up being drafted. But I think that people don't realize often how good some of the Americans are that go to some of these schools and then end up getting drafted and ends up ultimately getting a hockey contract somewhere. It's kind of fun to watch. It's kind of fun to watch some of the watch some of the best prospects and to see where they go. And the Frozen Four is a very, very cool thing. So we'll keep you updated on that as we move along, because it's a feeder system a little bit into what is ultimately the NHL. But of course, we all know it's not about the Masters and it's not about hockey. It's maybe a little bit about baseball and the NBA, but it's definitely always about the NFL. And there's a lot of conversation about what's going to happen in the off season with a couple of teams. And we've already seen some tweaking and some that are saying goodbye, like this one. Feels kind of weird, but inevitable. Denver Broncos legend John Elway isn't employed anymore by the Broncos. He had a consulting contract. It ended, and it's not going to be renewed. So the new ownership of the team, that, you know, that's it. It's a whole different deal. His consulting contract expired on the first day of the 2023 NFL league year. And you know when that was, March 15th. And he met with the new owners. And that's when the decision was made that, yeah, this is it. He ran the Broncos front office as general manager and executive VP of football operations from 2011 to 2021. How about that? I mean, that's a long time, a long, long time. That's a storied history for Elway and the Broncos. I mean, he won three Super Bowls during his 28 years, two titles as a quarterback, another as a GM. And, of course, he's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And he said, I didn't want an obligation. I'm getting a little older. I want to be able to do some of the things I haven't done. I'm ready for a flexible schedule. He said he wanted a flexible schedule. And so that's that for Elway and the Broncos. Wonder if they'll consult him on what happens with the quarterbacks in the future. Because, boy, that is where they have struggled, right, mightily. And the quarterback, we all know, is the glue. So the focus now is on what the draft is going to look like. What do teams need in the draft? And who are some of the immediate starters in the draft? And then still the question about Aaron Rodgers or the Jets trading for Aaron Rodgers. But even if they do, don't they need another quarterback? And what does that mean? And so now you certainly see Green Bay in flux. And I think at this point, all the teams are, because you're looking at a combination of what the draft is going to look like. And, you know, right from the beginning, from round one, the Panthers, who got the pick from Chicago. And what's the first pick? And it's about setting up those mock drafts, and for teams setting up their war room and making some of the decisions that might not be obvious to everyone. I mean, you look at, like with the Ravens, would the Ravens pick a quarterback in the first round? Because now they're in limbo land, right? They're not answering questions anymore really about Lamar Jackson. They just did a pre-draft news conference. And they've actually talked about would they pick somebody up in their spot in the draft. They have the number 22 pick overall, but they don't have a lot of capital in the draft. I mean, how much can they really move up, and who would be available by the time you get to 22? It could be more likely that they would maybe take a wide receiver. Maybe at that 22 spot. It's so fun to speculate about what could happen in the draft. All right, the music means we're closing the door to the man cave. Hang with us.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
U.S. USA News Update. President Biden expressed his dissatisfaction with the humanitarian conditions in Gaza during a 30-minute phone call with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on Thursday. Here's Secretary of State Antony Blinken.
The results on the ground are woefully insufficient and unacceptable.
Blinken said the president urged Netanyahu to outline tangible measures aimed at mitigating civilian casualties and ensuring the safety of aid workers within Israel. The first week of April is proving itself to be true to its reputation as one of the most turbulent periods for tornado activity. Meteorologists have verified the occurrence of over 20 tornadoes across a dozen states this week. The only thing that can ruin the eclipse on April 8th? Clouds. And some are expected to show up. Texas and Ohio might not be the best spots thanks to the weather forecast that is calling for significant cloud cover. John Schaefer, USA News.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutriMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritious meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutriMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com. NutriMedical.com for the whole family.
I know I need to pay attention to my health, but I just can't seem to find the time. Between rushing to work and taking care of the kids, there's not much time left over for me. So I decided to start small by eating more fruits and vegetables and being more active. And then I got the family to make some changes too. We started by keeping a bowl of fresh fruit on the counter, and I limit the amount of sweet snacks I keep in the house. I've also found some creative ways to add more vegetables to our meals. We're taking more walks, and on the weekends, we head down to the pool at the rec center. It doesn't happen every day, but it does happen. You don't have to change your entire life to be healthier. Just make some simple changes and include your family. You'll see how easy and fun it can be.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard, and when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
I know you've seen him. Think of KFC, Colonel Sanders. Think of George Washington crossing the Delaware. Since I grew up in that area, one of my favorites, the Geico commercial. But way more than that, he's been in so many films. He's done so many voices. Jim Meskimen is joining us in just a minute, and he's going to portray Phil Donahue in a new film called Welcome to Chippendales. And it's got an interesting cast, too. A lot of names that you would recognize. And plus, we want to talk to him about TikTok. 5 million viewers in 5 days. Wow. Jim, thanks for coming on.
My pleasure. Great to talk to you.
So let's talk about voices and how you knew you had this gift. How'd you hone that skill?
Well, you know, I was a little kid that I grew up in an acting household, so it was fun to do, and considered fun and acceptable and tolerable to do accents and funny voices and impressions, which I don't think is true in every household, but in our household, it was fine to do it. You know, it was understood. And my sister and I used to play around. My mom is an actress, so she would do. She's very good at accents and characters and stuff. So we would, it was just something that I learned early on was an avenue of play. And just like other things you do when you're a little kid, you just do it because it's fun. And then, I don't know, you start to put in a lot of hours on it. And when I was in my 20s, I realized that I had a little bit of a leg up on other performers in that area. So I pursued a career in voiceover, and eventually that grew into an acting career. And, here I am today, many, many years later, still doing the same stuff.
That's so great.
I've advanced not even a yard on the field, but it is fun.
So, and of course, your mom is Marion Ross, Happy Days fame, and lots of films that she's been in. And you're right. Now, as soon as you said that, it triggered in me. Yes, she's done tons of accents. Do you remember the first character, the first person you really nailed that you felt like, oh, I really have this?
Oh, gosh. I played around with it a lot, but I remember distinctly that when All in the Family was on, and before my voice had changed, I could do a pretty good Edith Bunker. And I thought, you know, that sounds pretty good. So I began to develop confidence that way. And when I grew up in the late 60s, early 70s, it was a kind of a golden age of impressionists. We had Rich Little on TV all the time and others. The political voices of the day were always being mimicked by different comedians. And so I never had an idea even in my youth that it would be the sort of thing I would do for a living. But I did appreciate it a lot just as an art form. And I think I still understand the magical effect that it has on people when you suddenly change into another person very dramatically. And you bring that person, like Patrick Stewart, into the room. And whereas he was not there before, he most certainly is now. You know, and that's just a sort of a tool that audiences are very delighted by.
Oh, one of my favorites. I have to ask you about this Gaslit. I loved that series. It was wonderful. And you played Senator Gurney. What was that experience like for you?
I had a great time. I was sort of amazed that I got the role. It was a very big, prestigious, limited series on Stars with a couple of Oscar winners at the helm. So Julia Roberts, Sean Penn, I got to work with both of them. And it was very exciting. The director, Matt Ross, was excellent director. He's an actor himself, so he knows how to speak to actors in a way that's doesn't waste anybody's time. And Sean Penn was under so much prosthetic makeup that I found, which was very artful and beautiful. And if you've seen his look, it's just extraordinary. I found that the lucky thing about that for me was that I was not at all starstruck because Sean Penn was not in the building as far as I was concerned.
Wow. And what high praise that is, because he transformed himself completely.
He did. And the great makeup designer, one of the best on the planet today, Kazuhiro, designed that makeup. And I met Kazu back in when we were like 1999 working on The Grinch, as he was helping out Rick Baker at that point. So it was a nice reunion to see Kazuhiro.
Tell us about the listeners about TikTok and the 5 million views and doing that and looping that all together.
Well, I'm always looking for new ways to reach people with my content, with my impressions, and just any creative idea I have. I'm one of these people that, despite my advanced years, has really embraced social media, particularly YouTube and now TikTok, because I love to create all the time. It's what I love to do. I have, as you can see, I'm in a booth. I do a lot of sound recordings. I have a little area in the back where I do video recordings. And so TikTok, which I just was scratching my head over for the longest time, I just decided to really kind of hunker down and see what could be done. And I was admiring a lot of the work that was done on TikTok, and it frankly makes me laugh a lot. And it's just full of interesting distractions, which, of course, have their upside and downside. But I started to really just sort of look at what other people who do impressions were doing and taking a stab at it myself. And it was very exciting. A couple weeks ago, I had a video took off pretty good, and it's now at 7.5 million views, that one that we launched less than a month ago. And I picked up a lot of followers, which is nice, flattering, and hopefully they'll continue to be interested in what nonsense I put out. And then just yesterday, we had another one that went viral. It's at 2 million views. So we have high hopes for that. I think now people are digesting their entertainment and getting it in all sources. We definitely need a little lift every now and then. You know, life is very serious and grim sometimes. And the upside of these platforms like TikTok and Instagram and YouTube is that we can share ideas and aesthetic concepts and fun and humor very swiftly. Yeah. And you know, hopefully help each other over the bumps and sharp stones and edges of life.
And from the acting, voiceover, impressionist point of view, and like you say, you're a content curator, besides all the followers you're getting and more people knowing maybe who you are, that has to help too in the business, because that's putting you out there and other people maybe discovering you and thinking, oh, Jim, that's right, he'd be perfect for this role.
Yeah, it's possible. I'm planning on that being correct. I would like that to be the case. So we'll see. Yeah, I mean, I've had the experience where, you know, I go in for, like, say, a commercial audition or something, and I do the audition, and the director says, "Hey, I love all your stuff on Instagram." And I'm like, "Oh, that's very booing." And then, of course, when you don't get the job, you're wondering, well, I guess somebody came along that had even more amazing content and more followers, whatever. You know, in the arts and the producers, you know, the business people, the suits, I think they're always looking for metrics that will support their, you know, their opinion of why someone would be better than another person. So I don't think it hurts to have a little bit of popularity on a platform.
Yeah. How about what's coming up, Phil Donahue? Tell us about that project.
Yeah, so that's a limited series. This is, this is my Phil Donahue voice, for better or for worse. This is what I came up with to kind of evoke this very, very revered and respected, I don't know what you call him now. He's not an anchor man. He's a guy that would walk up and down and talk to people, just ordinary people and unusual people, like the Chippendales dancers. So this series, which you mentioned, has a lot of a really terrific cast, including my friend Juliette Lewis, is the story of the Chippendales dancers, which you'd think would be kind of frothy and, is silly and lighthearted, but it's not. It's pretty dark. So I've not seen the whole thing, so I can't speak to it too much. But when they are introduced to America, it is via the old Phil Donahue show, and they needed somebody to portray Phil Donahue, and I auditioned and got the role, and it was super fun to do. I had a great time, and I've never seen so many Chippendales dancers dancing so long. I spent a whole day watching Chippendales dancers going at it, and also it was in a big set full of women dressed like it was 1989, and it was gorgeous to see, because, you know, I remember that period. And the styles, I mean, the makeup department, the wardrobe department, the hair department, they really went to it. You know, they went above and beyond and created a room full of screaming, you know, clutching, pawing women that looked just like 1989. It was gorgeous.
Oh, I love that. You put that image into my head now. Thank you very much. So you have fun, obviously, all day long at what you do, and you set that up when you talked about being a kid. What else do you do for fun? I mean, how do you get away from, okay, I'm not doing any content today, I'm just going to walk on the beach, I'm going to take a breath?
I've been working on getting just more physically fit, and I've been enjoying it really a lot. So I do that, and I'm a visual artist also, not to sound like a complete pain in the butt, but I have been a cartoonist and an illustrator and a painter all my life. And that was my first profession and the road I really thought I was going to go down until I, you know, caught the acting bug for real.
Thank you so much, Jim Meskimen. We wish you the best in all your endeavors, and thanks for spending some time with us.
My great pleasure. Thank you very much, Kate. I'll see you around.
See you.
this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog. Yeah, that's Guinness. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Or hit me up on Twitter at Kate S. Delaney. At Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com. What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire fireplace grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Boy, these are two really special people, and their story is, I think, one that has some pretty interesting takeaways, not just for kids, by the way, but I think for older people as well. And the book we're talking about is Young Vikings and the Quest for Asgard. So think about Vikings and think about what you can conjure up in your mind, and you might be totally wrong about what the book's about. But we're going to find out as we talk to the Hardens. Susan and Scott Harden join us. They have such an interesting background. Susan's a school counselor, and Scott teaches all the sciences, so I would have probably been a very bad student for him. But I would have tried really hard. It's so lovely to have you both on the show. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Kate. Thank you very much for having us.
So let's talk about what was the impetus for this book. And Scott, let's start with you, because you had an interesting story to tell me off the air about how this all came about. So why did this book materialize?
Kate, it was a story I had in my mind, and it wasn't enough story to be a book, but it was kind of the beginnings of a book. And I spent 2 to 3 years writing the story down just in legal pads. And I wrote a little each day, and I would write and think of something else and write a little bit more. But I had that story in mind, and the characters began to evolve with the personalities of my own children. As that happened, I kind of finished up the getting down the main idea of the story and asked my wife to read it and look at it and see what she thought. And she began to embellish on a lot of the details and do a lot of research to make things I guess, more accurate, historically accurate, and mythologically accurate, as it is based a lot in Norse mythology.
So, Susan, for you, when you got involved in this project and you did the research, what did you find out? Was there anything that surprised you in that research?
I think the one thing that surprised me is they didn't have horns on their helmets. That was the one thing that surprised me.
No kidding, because that's how we always visualize it. Certainly, and there's always so many pictures that depict that, and obviously that isn't right. So tell us about, Susan, tell us about the story.
Well, it's about three children, and their village is attacked, and they can't find their parents. They actually see them being taken off. And so they decide, instead of sitting around, they decide to go on a quest to find their parents and to find Asgard and get them back. And through that journey, they come across different characters, and they learn different things from each event. And then when they get there, they have to fight the gods to get their parents back. But the way they fight the gods is with
intellect rather than muscle.
It's a battle of wits with the gods.
Ooh, a battle of wits. I like it. It had to be fun to write this. Was it fun to pull this together, Scott? And especially as you said, and you know, Susan backs up, so much of this is based on your own kids. What a cool thing.
Susan often remarks, I'll laugh suddenly just for no apparent reason. She says, are you making yourself laugh over there? And that's kind of the way it was when I was writing the book. I'd write down something and then I would kind of laugh at it and be amused and go back and read through it. And then I'd laugh again. She said, what in the world are you laughing at? But then she would read it and find the humor in what I've written, which hopefully translates to other people as well.
Yeah. And I think it does. Absolutely. From my point of view, Susan, so I'm going to ask you both this, but what do you hope the takeaways are for any children who read this? Or like I said before, adults could read this as well. What do you hope they take away from it?
Well, I hope they relate to each of the children have different personalities. So I'm hoping they can relate to at least one of them, if not more of them, and how they come together and how they work together to go on this quest and how they pull from each other's strengths. I don't want to give too much away.
That's right. You have to buy the book. Get the book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or wherever great books are sold. So, Scott, would you just add to that and say kind of the same thing, right?
I would. I think that people should see a sense of family with these siblings and the love that they had for their parents and their parents have for them. And that should be evident, I think.
So when I think about what you both do for a living, and I think about when I was a kid, what it would be like if my counselor or my science teacher wrote a book. Are you like rock stars in school?
I don't know.
That's funny because somebody asked me what I had to do this afternoon, another teacher. And I said, well, I'm going to go home. And then he said something about a Viking. And I said, you know, it's funny you say that because that's what I'm doing this afternoon. I have an interview about our book in hopes, you know, of promoting it to be transformed into a movie. And he said, you know, we've been teaching together for 15 years. I've never heard anything about this before. And I said, well, you know, I just don't like to count my chickens before they're hatched, so to speak. I haven't really promoted. I don't think I've told. I told him, I said, I don't think I've told anybody but you today. I might have mentioned it to our librarians a few years ago, but
I've told a few. And when they find out, they're interested. They're like, oh, really? Tell me more about it. And I tell them, and then I'm like, okay, here, this is where you go to find it and buy it, you know?
Right.
And I think they're interested. They're interested in the story. And I think they're interested in that we actually took the step to put our thoughts in a book and to create this story together.
Yeah.
I agree. The people I've mentioned it to, that seems to be what they're most impressed with, is that you didn't just start a book, you finished it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You had an idea.
And you did it together. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Well, this, I can only see this adventure continuing to grow. And I asked you this off the air, but Susan, do you see more books in the future?
Definitely. He usually writes the foundation of it, and I'd love to see what he comes up with. And then, of course, he is great to let me throw my input in there, and it evolves. And I'd love to go on another adventure and write another book.
I like that. That's a good answer. And I would imagine the kids would enjoy it too, because that's important here. What do the kids think of the book?
Well, our daughter, actually, she was in the car on traveling, and she said, I'm going to read the book. And she read it a few years earlier, but she read it again, and she laughed outside out loud, and then she cried at the end of it.
Aww.
Not that it's sad at the end, just she cried because she was just so moved by it.
Right. And I love that. And I guess it was Scott that mentioned this, because the first thing that pops into my head, too, is that it's the family, right? And that you're using wits. And you mentioned that it's using the wits instead of brawn, because naturally that's what you think of. But yet it's so often wits that get you out of certain circumstances. And both of you know that as teachers. Am I right about that? What a brilliant stroke there. Was that your idea, Scott?
It's just sort of the way the story evolved.
So when you sat down and you put that foundation together before you slid it over to Susan, who then went to work on it, digging around and adding some of the history and making sure it was all right, you just kind of knew, boom, this is good. This is going to work.
Right. And if you think, you know, if these gods existed, you know, Thor and Odin and all of these different deities, that, you know, a mortal could not compete with them physically without being able to outwit them some way.
And yeah. Then these are children on top of it.
Right.
Right. Right. Because what you think about children and what would they do? What would be the natural instinct for them to do? And I think it's interesting because it's the opposite of Marvel, for example. But yet they still have to use their wits, but they have the brawn. So I love the idea of these young Vikings in the quest for Asgard and going on this adventure and waiting to see, you know, what happens next. And so you obviously enjoy doing this together, right?
Yes, we do.
Very much.
That's a good thing. What if you disagree on a character? Do you just kind of, do you flip for it or do you play a game of Uno?
I don't know. I think we kind of explain, well, this is what I'm seeing. And he says, well, this is what I see in the character and this is why. And we're like, oh, okay. Well, that kind of makes sense. You know, we just talk about it. We've been married 30 years, you know, it's
all the same anyway.
That's good. It's good. I love your story. And this is such an interesting tale. Young Vikings and the Quest for Asgard. I mentioned it before, but you can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. Thank you both very much.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Kate,
thanks
very
for having
much.
Us.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.